morning, brothers and sisters. Last week, our worship included a drama illustrating a Gentile woman's faith, which, by the way, that faith surprised the disciples, and that faith was praised by Jesus as demonstrating great faith. And today we're going to continue with the theme of faith, but we are going to examine the teaching of Scripture as to what it was about that woman's faith that made Jesus so impressed by her words and actions. So, to begin our study of faith this morning, let me ask you a personal question. How is your relationship with God? Are you living a life of faith? Are you living a life filled with the Word of God and the presence of God? Or do you feel distance from God or out of touch with God in your life? Perhaps I should ask, do you please God with the way you live your life? Or maybe I should ask, do you know what pleases God with your living? Do you please God or gain the Lord's approval by being religious? No. Do you please God or gain the Lord's approval by going to church? No. Do you please God or gain the Lord's approval by reading the Bible? No. Now let me clarify what I'm saying, because all of those actions are good for your spiritual growth. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be doing those. You most certainly should. But there is only one way that you can please God. In Hebrews 11, from our scripture reading in verse 6, we learn that it's faith that pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Basically, there are only two ways to live our life. One way, and by far is the most common way, is to live by sight. To base everything on what we can see, what we can calculate, what we can make happen. And the other way is far less commonly taken, that is to live by faith. To base your life primarily and ultimately on what you cannot see. And what you can only hope for, and what you can only trust to happen. Only what God is able to make happen in your life. So there's two ways to live your life. But what you can do with it, and what you can see, and what you can't see, and what you trust in God to help you with. And now the way of faith is not easy. Actually, it's very hard to live a life of faith. But it's God's way of life. It's the Christian way that we try to follow. It's the biblical way that we're taught, which is the way that the people of God are commanded to live. In other words, this is what God says that we are to do to live our life, is to live a life of faith. And today I want us to learn three specific teachings or ingredients, if you will, that are necessary for a life of faith. And these three specific points are drawn from the life of Abraham, as recorded in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Here's the first point. True faith involves a willingness to obey. The life of faith begins with the willingness to listen to God, as found in the Word of God. And not only listen and not only hear the Word of God, but it's to heed the call of God to leave sin behind, to leave our own selfishness behind, and to come and follow God, to follow God's way, to do it God's way. In verse 8 of our scripture lesson, we are told by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. The life of faith begins with the willingness to hear God calling you to a new life. To hear God calling you to a different kind of life than what the world offers. God's call for faith is a call to obey. And it's a call for action. True faith always leads to listening to God and to making some decision to act upon it. At the age of 75, Abraham set out for a place he had never visited. He knew nothing about it. Abraham was immediately willing to give up his homeland, to give up his friends, his relatives, his old way of life. He was willing to give all of that up to obey God who was calling him. Living by faith can be a lot like driving in a fog. One early morning last week, I left home to drive down here to the church to leave copies of the bulletin for Sherry to run the bulletin off and for our worship service. And when I left home, I was driving in a heavy fog. And I could not really see that far in front of my truck. But I kept driving anyway, very slowly, believing that what I could not see in front of me, that it was going to be okay, that the road would appear as I got there. I guess you could say. I would see as I was getting closer where I needed to be. In other words, when I moved forward 100 feet, then I could see the next 100 feet. But I couldn't see beyond that. Thus, I kept going with that belief that I would reach my destination. And I was, in a sense, driving by faith. Because I couldn't see. But I was believing that the road would continue and that I would be able, when I got further down the road, to see how I needed to navigate and maneuver. And I believed I would get where I needed to go. Some of you here this morning may be hearing the voice of God. You may be hearing the call of God for you to come to a new place in your life. But you can't see it. Don't really know what all that means. But you hear that God is calling you to live a different kind of life. Perhaps the Lord has been calling you for some time. Or perhaps the Lord has been calling you to repent of some sin or some stumbling block that has been a problem in your life. Or maybe you've heard God calling to receive Him more obediently to letting Jesus be your Savior. So we call Jesus Lord, we call Him Savior, but sometimes we don't let Him be our Lord or be our Savior, because we don't do what we are called to do in order for Him to be our Lord and Savior. Abraham heard the voice of God calling, and Abraham said, "Yes, Lord." He believed when he heard God's voice. He believed that God was calling, and he responded to Him in faith, not knowing where he was going to go, not knowing what it was going to mean, but he responded. Some of you have already made a commitment of faith to Christ sometime earlier in your life, sometime many times through your life. You've made a commitment to follow Christ. And yet, even today, you may still be hearing God calling you to something more. And our response to the Lord's call should be, "Lord, I don't know exactly what it is You want me to do with my life, but here I am. Here I am, Lord. In faith, I hear Your voice, and I'm going to respond. I am Yours. I will follow You. I will trust You." That's the first point of faith. True faith involves a willingness to obey. The second point drawn from the life of Abraham, necessary to live a life of faith, is that true faith involves a willingness to wait. The life of faith did not end for Abraham when he heard God's call, and when he obeyed God, and when he left his hometown behind, and when he finally got to the promised land, to the destination that God was calling him. That was not the end of it for Abraham. In verse 9 of our scripture lesson, it continues the story, and it says, "By faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So when Abraham got to the promised land and he was there, he still dwelt in tents. He didn't build a house there on the land where he was before entering the promised land. He was there looking forward to something more that God had promised. When Abraham was in the promised land, or at the edge there, he lived in tents, never owning property. Abraham never had a permanent residence. A great lesson from the scripture shines forth from this aspect of Abraham's life. We tend to want to amass permanent possessions in the here and now, but these things can interfere with our call of God, with our walk of faith before God. We too need to remember that this world is not our home. We sow so much grief and so much heartache and so much brokenness in the world because people are trying to make this world their eternal home. And that's not our destination. We need to remember this world is not our home. As believers, we must be willing to walk by faith, which means we're walking where God is leading us, and God is not having us to put down roots and this be our home. We need to remember not to hold on too tight, because God has more for us. Abraham's faith was not focused on this life, this world, this promised land. Abraham waited patiently for the greater promise. He never saw God's promise fulfilled. He waited. And he waited. And he waited. Do you ever feel like God has put your life on hold? Somehow you've never arrived, that you've never been fulfilled in what you think life ought to have given you, that somehow life hasn't given you what you had hoped for or wanted. That may be because this world is not what God's promise is all about. That is why Abraham and Sarah, they struggled with faith. And why they felt the way they did, the way the scripture describes it. For 25 years, they had waited for a child. God had promised Sarah she was going to have a child. She was 75, and she laughed, thinking, how could this possibly be? But then she waited for 25 more years before God fulfilled that promise. Waiting is one of the greatest disciplines that we have as followers of God. What is God doing while we wait? What is the purpose for that? Regardless of how it appears, God is always working behind the scenes, preparing the way, making things so that they will be able to be for the good of you and your life. God is using life to position us and to prepare us to accomplish His vision for life and for our lives. You may have to wait, but remember that God's timing is always right. See, that's the thing we don't understand. Oh, Lord, why isn't what I'm wanting happening now? Because God's timing is always right. True faith is waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises in God's timing. We never lose when we trust God, even when we cannot see what it is we're wanting. The faith of the patriarchs can be seen in that their lives are characterized by two objects. You remember in the story, the scripture lesson that we read, the two objects were a tent. Abraham was living in a tent, and there was an altar. With the tent, Abraham and his people confessed their attitude toward this world. This world is not their home. They would not let its temptations blind them to the spiritual realities that God had so much more in store for them. And with the altar, they confess that their relationship to the world is that they are children of God. We worship God and trust Him. He is the one that's going to give us what we need, not the world. Thus, they adopted the attitude that as far as this world was concerned, they were strangers. They were foreigners. They realized that this world is not their home. They're pilgrims. They're waiting for something more. They're looking forward to what God has in store for them. There is more to come to life than what it is that we sometimes settle on. This is it. This is all we're ever going to have. This is all it's ever going to be. It's never going to get any better. And if you're looking at that, you're looking in the wrong place. We are strangers in this world. We are pilgrims looking forward to our true home. And one day we're going home. And we should be looking forward to that. True faith involves a willingness to wait upon God. Here's the third point and the last one that I want to share with you this morning that's drawn from the life of Abraham, which is necessary to live a life of faith. And that is that true faith involves a willingness to sacrifice. You see, the final demonstration of faith its ultimate proof is the willingness to sacrifice. In verse 17 of our scripture lesson, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac, your seed will be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. It was by faith that Abraham offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice when God tested him. Abraham demonstrated a willingness to give up to God the most important thing in his life, which at that time was his son. What is the most important thing in your life right now that you are willing to give up for God? God is interested in being in first place in your life. That's what faith is. There can be many things that have first places in our lives. It could be our job, our money, our family, our dreams. But rightfully, first place belongs to God. And the point is not that God isn't interested in the work we do or the money that we have accumulated or what we have, or the family we care for, or the pursuit of our dreams, but that God is most interested in our heart. That we love the Lord God with all our heart and all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And that we love one another. When Abraham was willing to give to God that which was the most important thing in his life, God gave it right back to him. And more. We don't have any trouble sacrificing to God that which is not important to us, do we? We come and we worship and we give and we do things, but we don't have any problem sacrificing that which is not really very important to us anyway. If you're afraid to ultimately trust God with your possessions or your dreams or someone in your life, then you need to take a new look at your life. And the way to do that is to learn from the life of Abraham. Because Abraham was willing to give up everything for God. He received back, however, more than he could ever imagine. You will never give up something for God that God will not repay you many times over. True faith involves a willingness to sacrifice. Well, I'm going to draw this message to a close. One final and crucial question demands an answer this morning. If faith is so great and important and the only way to please God, why do so few people live it? And one part of the answer to that question is that most people would rather do anything than take a risk. Taking risk means being vulnerable. And taking risks and being vulnerable may surely affect our finances and our friends and our future and our feelings and our occupation and where we live and a host of other considerations. Our tendency is to do whatever it takes to make ourselves feel safe and secure, to try to see what's going to happen in our future so that we can predict it. And so we won't have much risk to try to insure ourselves against loss. Basically, we fail at faith because we fear to risk. And that fear causes us not to obey God's call. And that fear causes us fail to trust God. And when we don't have faith, we are not able to please God. It's impossible to. What is God teaching us this morning? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And true faith involves a willingness to listen to God's word and to obey God's call, and to wait on God and to trust God's gift for our true home, and look forward to that home, and to make God first in your life by being willing to sacrifice your all for God. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you this morning that your word comes to teach us about you and about faith and about listening. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you that as you come to us this morning, you want to remind us that you love us with a love that is out of this world, beyond our understanding and comprehension. And that God, you love us so much that you gave your all to us. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And now, God, you're just asking as you speak to us, you're asking us to answer your call, to come to you, to receive that forgiveness in Jesus, to come to you, to give our lives anew to you, to come to you, Father, and have faith. Oh God, may our faith look up to you as we surrender again this morning. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.